In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sounds like somebody knows I was going to preach. It's a common reaction. Today is Zacchaeus Sunday. In some of the churches, Zacchaeus is the Sunday before the beginning of the period of the Triodion, which begins Great Lent. But for this year, it's about 4 weeks ahead of Lent, but it still goes up kind of like a flare, a distress signal. It's Zacchaeus Sunday. The Triodion and Lent are upon us, and I'm not ready. This year, we have plenty of weeks to get ready. Zacchaeus, of course, is an interesting case. We know that he's short of stature. We know that he is despised among the people. We know that he is rich. And we know that he probably got his riches in an ill-gotten way. What was there in his past that caused him to choose the way that he went? Was it because he was made fun of as a child? He thought maybe he would have his revenge by becoming rich and then being able to skim off the top of all the taxes that he collected? We don't know. What we do know is that there was some kind of desire in his heart, because he had obviously heard about the Lord. He had heard that he was coming, that he was going to come by. And so he ran out to prepare himself to see who this man was, because he knew it had to be something special. But yet, he's short. He's very short. How do we know he's very short? Because, well, the scriptures wouldn't mention something like that if he wasn't very short. And he needed to find the way to see the Lord. So he climbs up into a sycamore tree. Now, that's another interesting thing that we find in scriptures, because we don't see the name of sycamore anywhere in the entirety of the Holy Scriptures, Old or New Testaments, except for this particular passage. Some believe that St. Luke even invented this term, that suki, which means fig tree, and moria means foolishness. And so Luke was saying that Zacchaeus was climbing up foolishly into a tree, or climbing up into a tree of foolishness, any way you want to take it. Because when the Lord finally arrives, he knows Zacchaeus is up there. And his words are interesting, because this story is almost a parallel of our own spiritual lives. He says, Zacchaeus, make haste to come down, indicating that if you don't get down here now, you're going to miss your opportunity. And we also have to respond to the Lord in that way, that we have to make haste to see him, that make haste to obey him, to fulfill his commandments. And Zacchaeus scampers down, but the Lord's not finished. And he says this very interesting comment that can rush past you if you're not careful. He says, for I must come to your house today. Not, I would like to come to your house today. It would be nice if I could come to your house today, perhaps between 3 and 5, if that's convenient for you. It's nothing like that. It's, I must come to your house. I have to be there. And this is extraordinary, because we don't see this anywhere else in Scripture. And so Zacchaeus does come down, and he goes to his house and allows the Lord in. And of course, the usual squabbling starts. Oh, he's going to go into that house of a sinner, you know, a terrible man. We all hate this guy. What's he doing there? But Zacchaeus, because of this hidden desire in his heart, we don't know who put it there or when. Obviously the Lord, but when did he become aware of it? We're not sure. But the fact that he was willing to go to such extremes as to climb this tree, even knowing his position in that community as one despised and hated, he would be sort of putting the focus on himself by climbing up into a tree. But he comes down out of this great desire in his heart, perhaps not even knowing exactly what for, and accepts the Lord into his house. And immediately, without being prompted, without the Lord saying, you know, these people are right about you. You know, you're a really stinking sinner and you need to repent. It's not a good thing that you've been doing. He immediately says, I repent. I will give half of everything I own. And he owned a lot. I will give half of everything I own to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone, I will restore them fourfold. Wow. There's nothing in there about whether these people that he had defrauded would, you know, even be honest in that. They would just come to him and say, well, I've been defrauded. Restore unto me fourfold. Who knows? But that day, one thing is certain, Zacchaeus lost a lot of money. He lost a lot of money. But he also changed his life at that same time. Because the Lord, and again, we have to think about some of these things that we read so casually in Scripture. The Lord says that this too is a son of Abraham, and today salvation has come to his house. And the Lord wasn't saying, well, today he will be saved or he has been saved. No, that's not what he's saying. He's referring to himself. Lord Jesus Christ is salvation himself. And so he's saying that today I have come to his house. Salvation has come to his house. It's an extraordinary story. One of many in Scripture where people turned around on a dime. We only have to think about St. Paul on the Damascus Road, who was really criticized by the Lord in a much stronger way. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? After he's knocked off his horse by that bolt of lightning or whatever it happened to be. And Saul, to become Paul, says, Lord, who are you? I am Jesus, whom you persecute. And of course, Saul did not know that he was necessarily persecuting Jesus. He was persecuting his followers. But it's the same thing. The Lord himself said, you know, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. And so Saul turned around in an instant too, just like Zacchaeus. So we follow this story, and again, we see that we are also people who are called by the Lord, that we have to come down from the tree of foolishness, from all the ridiculousness that we bring upon ourselves throughout our lives, the things that get in the way between us and God. Come away from that. Come down from that, because the Lord wants to come to our homes. He must come to our homes, and we have to repent and receive him in the same manner. It's so simple. You know, I've said this before. Salvation is really a simple thing. We make it complicated. We're the ones that get in the way. Well, Lord, I've got to go marry a wife. I've got to go plow a field. I've got to go buy some oxen. Remember that parable. These sorts of things. Well, I can't do this or that or the other. I don't have time to pray right now. I've got to do something else, you know, or, well, I've been so busy all week, and yes, I've been meaning to visit that person, but, you know how it is, Lord. Well, that's a sad thing. He does know how it is. He knows exactly how it is. But we have to overcome that. We have to center ourselves in our lives of prayer and fasting and church attendance and interaction with our brethren and all these things that he demands of us in order to be worthy of the name Christian. Because not everyone who bears that title actually is inside. And that's something that we have to take inside to renew ourselves with the spirit that Jesus Christ gives us. So what happened with Zacchaeus? Well, the Gospels are silent, but holy tradition is not. Zacchaeus, if you look in the Menaean, is listed as the Apostle Zacchaeus because he became one of the 70 apostles. Or 70 disciples of Christ, just like our own James was. And it didn't end there either. He became a follower of St. Peter, the apostle, the chief of the apostles. And in fact, Peter ordained him a bishop. He became the first bishop of Caesarea in Cappadocia, the same see that our wonderful St. Basil the Great would inherit so many years later. he too looked upon Zacchaeus as the first bishop of Caesarea. So Zacchaeus that day had his life changed in many, many ways, so that he would end up being a shepherd of a flock also. An extraordinary thing, because I think, as Paul Harvey would say, now you know the rest of the story. And it's a good one, and it ends very well for Zacchaeus, who lived into a ripe old age. So think about him today. Think about what we would be willing to do in order to see the Lord. What are we willing to do in order to see the Lord? Again, it's very simple. Just be devout in your own hearts and minds. Seek the Lord every single day, every hour of every day. Let that desire blossom in you, because the Lord has put that desire there. And if we but cultivate it just a little, just a tiny bit, it will flower into things extraordinary, and you also will be able to go out into the world and change the hearts and minds of many. Amen.